And now, Jim Dearman.
There is much speculation and many false ideas about the return of Jesus Christ. Some say He will return to reign here on earth for a literal 1,000 years. They speak of the rapture that will take place as the saints are taken suddenly from the earth. But what does the Bible teach about the second coming of Christ? That's our concern today. In Acts 1:11, we find these words, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." These words of the angels to the apostles were spoken as the Lord ascended to the Father after His redemptive work on earth was complete. He had been raised from the dead by the power of God and proved Himself to be the Son of God. Just as those who stood there on that day saw Him ascend, every eye shall also behold His second coming. However, there's a great deal of confusion and false teaching concerning that second coming. Today we're going to see what the Bible teaches about the second coming of Christ. Now, first of all, let's talk for a moment about a doctrine called premillennialism. The word premillennialism is not in the Bible, and the doctrine is not there either. Premillennialists believe that when Jesus came to the earth the first time, He was unable to set up His earthly kingdom because the Jews rejected Him. They believe this, in effect, forced Jesus to set up the church as a temporary situation, to last only until He comes again to establish His earthly throne. I'd like for you to think about this for a moment and consider what this idea says about our Lord. First of all, it says the Lord, although He is deity, could not accomplish what He intended to do. It also suggests that if He was defeated in His purpose the first time He came to earth, why could He not be defeated the next time? Also, think about this for a moment. The church is essential in man's salvation, and the Bible makes that abundantly clear. How could the church have been an afterthought with God? How could it have been something He brought into existence as an alternative plan when Jesus was rejected by the Jews? It is not possible. Premillennialism degrades the church, for which Jesus shed His precious blood. It denies the power of deity to carry out a divine purpose, and premillennialism distorts the teachings of the Word of God about our Lord's second coming. I'd like for you to listen to Paul's words that he wrote in Ephesians 3:10-11 and see if you can accept the idea that the church was only an afterthought with God. Listen to what Paul wrote there. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, that's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Notice that the church was in the mind of God long before the Lord ever came to this earth. Beyond this, the church was in the mind of Christ as the very institution He would build in order to save men from sin. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus promised to build His church. In Acts 20:28, Paul told the elders of the church at Ephesus that the church was purchased with the precious blood of Christ. The Bible clearly shows when the church was established. It was on the first Pentecost day following our Lord's resurrection and ascension to heaven. The church and the kingdom are one and the same, although the premillennial doctrine says they are not. Listen again to the words of Jesus in Matthew 16:18-19. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now notice something very significant here. Notice that Jesus used the terms church and kingdom interchangeably. There is no difference. The church is the kingdom, and the kingdom is the church. Christ is king now over His kingdom. And when He returns, He will deliver the kingdom up to the Father in heaven. This is according to Paul's clear statement in 1 Corinthians 15:24. Listen to what he writes. "Then comes the end when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." Now notice Paul says when Christ comes again, it will end, not begin, all rule. He is ruling now. What does that say about the idea of a future reign of Christ on earth in a literal kingdom? It says that such is false. Completely false. Now, a favorite proof passage of the premillennialist is Revelation 20, verse 4, which says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them." Now notice, again reading from Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 4, "I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them." Then he goes on, "Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark or on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, what is taught here? First of all, we need to recognize that many things taught in the book of Revelation were signified to John. That word is used. They were signified to John. That is, they were taught to John by signs, symbols, by figures of speech. Revelation chapter 20 does not teach anything about a literal bodily resurrection of the saints. It does not say when the 1,000-year reign will take place, nor does it say where. You see, this reign referred to in Revelation 20 included only a certain class of saints, those who were martyred for the cause of Christ. Is the beast mentioned in Revelation 20, verse 4, a literal beast? Who would claim that it is? Why, then, is it claimed by some that the 1,000 years is a literal period of time? No, the point that must not be overlooked here is that Revelation 20 says absolutely nothing about the return of Christ to the earth. And any honest student of the Bible has to reach the conclusion that neither Revelation 20 nor any other passage, for that matter, teaches that Christ will literally reign on this earth for a literal 1,000-year period. Well, what about the idea of the rapture? Is it true that the faithful will be suddenly taken from the earth at some time before or after a supposed period of tribulation here, as some people contend? Is that the case? The Bible says absolutely nothing about it. That is, the Bible says absolutely nothing about the rapture. Just as with the whole premillennial doctrine, the word rapture is not in the Bible, nor is the idea of a rapture found anywhere in Scripture. There are variations of the doctrine of premillennialism which include a rapturing of the saints before the literal 1,000-year reign of Christ. However, we have seen that the Scriptures deny the idea of the 1,000-year reign, and the idea of a rapture is also denied by the Scriptures. Well, what is taught in the Bible concerning the second coming of Christ? What is taught in the Bible is that Jesus Christ will come again, not to live and reign on the earth, because He reigns now in heaven over His kingdom, which is the church, Matthew 16, 18 and 19. But He will come again to judge the world. And when He does, He will take His present kingdom, which is the church, home to His Father in heaven, where the kingdom, the church, will continue there in its eternal phase. It will not be a different kingdom, but the same kingdom, simply entering into its eternal phase. Now, in one other lesson next time on the second coming of Christ, we're going to examine some very clear and undeniable scriptures that teach us about the second coming of our Lord and everything that's involved in it. What we will examine will not be difficult to understand because it is pure Bible. It is not the fanciful theories or ideas of men who have perverted the prophecies and twisted the teaching of the Bible on this subject. And let us add here that we do not question the sincerity of anyone who holds to this doctrine of premillennialism. The prevalent doctrine of premillennialism is the dispensational idea, and everything that's involved in that, including this rapture that we'll talk more about next time. And we are not questioning the sincerity of those who've been caught up in this. But we must stress the importance of knowing the truth on this vitally important subject and of understanding the consequences, yes, the consequences of teaching this and believing this and practicing this teaching. Remember, next time, be sure to be with us as we'll discuss part two in this two-part study of the second coming of Christ. It is a vitally important subject, and there is so much confusion in the religious world today concerning this subject that we need to lay aside that confusion. We need to be able to simply look at what the Bible clearly teaches on this vitally important matter. And next time we'll specifically discuss more about this false idea of the rapture. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Until next time, I'm Jim Dearman with Truth for the World.